The best shot I've ever hit in my career came at the 72nd hole of the 2006 Craft Nabisco Championship. I had 116 yards to the pin, and at that point I was one shot behind the lead, so I knew I needed to make a birdie to have a chance for a playoff, and hit a nice smooth pitching wedge in there, and it bounced a couple of times, went in the hole. Most people would say it was very un-Kari Webb-like how I celebrated. I ran and jumped into my caddy's arms and high-fived the crowd all the way to the hole. I've never felt my heart beat that hard. And so at the time, I thought I might have held that to win, but as it turned out, I eventually was in a playoff with Lorena Ochoa and went on to win the playoff.
Kari Webb is the champion. She has won the 2006 Craft Nabisco title.
Hall of Famer, seven-time major winner, Kari Webb, speaking about that last of her majors, the 2006 Craft Nabisco title in the United States. Quentin Hull with you for Grandstand on ABC Sport. And it's great to see Kari play at the Australian Open just before Christmas. And one of the real flag bearers for men and women playing together for the same purse has been the Vic Open at 13th Beach. And it's only a couple of weeks away. And wonderful news recently that Kari has told us she's going to be playing in that event. So you never really need a chance to catch up with the luminaries of the sport. There is lots to talk about in golf, not just about her upcoming tournaments and how she's going these days. But Kari Webb, pleasure as ever to catch up with you on Grandstand on ABC Sport. Where do we find you?
Yeah, thanks, Quentin. Thanks for having me on. I'm up in Townsville currently, sweating it out and getting rain, lots of rain. But that's this time of the year, isn't it?
Yeah. How much time do you spend back home, so to speak, now, even though home's in the US as well? What's your time balance between the US and Australia?
Yeah, I'm trying to split the year. You know, 6 months, 6 months. It's not a science. It's sort of just when things are on either side of the pond. I sort of set my schedule around that.
And Vic Open, obviously, is only a couple of weeks away. Let's start with a broad-reaching question. How's your passion for competition golf these days?
If I didn't have to practice in the North Queensland summer, I'd be jumping out of my skin to compete. But I'm reminded when I'm grinding away, hitting balls, that I realize why I don't do it as much as I used to. But I still love to compete, and I think I've always loved the atmosphere of a golf tournament, and more especially being inside the ropes. I actually went and watched an event this year, and I realized that being inside the ropes is far better than watching.
Really? What event was that, and what sort of feelings were going through you?
Well, I had my Kari Webb Scholarship girls over from Australia, and they always came and visited me during one of the majors. So it was the first year for a couple of years that we'd been able to actually go to one of the majors. So we went to the Women's PGA it was at Congressional in Washington, D.C. So it's changed a little bit. I mean, I could play in that event, but I'm just not playing enough golf to tee it up in a major, which when I saw the golf course, I knew I wasn't even remotely close to being good enough to play that week. But so we sort of, it's a bit of a hybrid sort of thing. I take the girls and play some other courses in the area. So there's lots of good courses in DC. So we went and played a few courses, and then went out and watched some golf for a few days. So that was my first time watching a golf tournament for quite some time. So it was very different for me.
Well, it sounds like a tough position to be in. You were like, nah, the course is too hard. Don't want to be out there. But you're watching on thinking, oh, gee, I wish I was playing.
Yeah,
Such is the passion of so many years competing. But Kari Webb, the good thing that we saw throughout last year is that you turn back the clock. You and Aronika Sorenstam went head-to-head in a, what's the right term? Is it a seniors event? I want to be very respectful here.
Yeah, it's the old ladies tour.
You did play a couple of events on the LPGA tour with some mixed, mixed success there, but you won an event with Annika trying to run you down. How was that?
Yeah, that was definitely a blast from the past, but really good. It was, you know, I hadn't experienced the feelings of being in contention and having a chance to win and you know, all the nerves and the adrenaline that go along with that for a really, really long time. And you know, that I think is what I miss the most. You know, I could if I wanted to be playing full time, but if I wasn't experiencing that, then really all the hard work, in my opinion, isn't worth it. I'd like to, you know, be able to think I could put myself up there with those feelings. So, yeah, playing in the Senior LPGA Championship was a lot of fun, actually. Yeah, I saw a lot of people. A lot of the girls that I've played many years with that I hadn't played with or hadn't seen for a really long time. So it was good to catch up with them. And then to play in a golf tournament and compete against Annika, you know, I don't think either of us ever thought that would happen again.
Yeah, it's a fantastic story, Kari. Just to hear your name alongside Annika Sorenstam just brings back so many memories, and obviously contemporary ones now as well in that seniors event. So the Vic Open has long been seen as a real leader in world golf when it comes to men and women playing at the same event for the same purse. We saw that at the Australian Open. Do you think that that's the best format for our national opens going forward?
I think, I think this past December was definitely an experiment. I mean, an educated experiment. We knew the success of the Vic Open. I think the Vic Open works really well because of the fact that it's at one golf course with two courses. You know, so everyone's at the same facility. I think the challenge, it's a little harder when you're on separate courses. I mean, the Sand Belt, they all play fairly similar. So, I think that was pretty seamless during the Australian Open. I just loved, I feel like it really elevated golf. I think it was talked about more than it would have, even if it was just that's the traditionally the men's Australian Open date. I think it was talked about more than even if it was just the men's. And I think Melbourne and Victorians were super excited to have golf back after 3 years it had been since the President's Cup that they'd had live golf tournaments played in Melbourne. So, I think from elevating the game and showing that golf is an inclusive sport, you know, we had the All Abilities playing on the weekend as well. And I just think it showed how golf is a game for all. And you know, I think the biggest message there is that and you know, trying to, you know, shake off some of the stigma that does surround golf, And to be honest, it's still there a little bit, but I think the majority of people involved in golf are trying to change that and make it a more welcoming sport for everybody.
The legendary Kari Webb, my guest on Grandstand, Quentin Hull with you on ABC Sport. Vic Open's a couple of weeks away, but whenever you get the chance to chat to the luminaries of the game, always great to ask their thoughts on the current status of it and the changes that have been made. The one, I think, devil's advocate question I'll ask you about the Women's Australian Open now playing with the men, there has been a change in status for a lot of the women's events in Australia where they were co-sanctioned with the LPGA Tour, where we know that's where the Aussies aspire to go. What's the future there of the other women's Aussie tournaments? Because we were so lucky, we had the best women in the world coming here because of the tour status in the States. Where do we go from here?
Yeah, I think it's open for discussion, you know, with the LPGA. I think it's finding, you know, slots in the schedule that work for both, you know, what works best in Australia but also fits into the LPGA schedule. I don't think that those discussions would be completely off the table, but there's other ways to get the best players in the world down to Australia other than an LPGA sanctioning. It's just creating, you know, the opportunities and the right dates and to make it, you know, the most appealing event that we can, and you know, and the bigger players will come down regardless of the LPGA.
The Curry Webb branding. Invitational in North Queensland, perhaps.
Yeah. I don't know. We'd have to do that in about August, which is kind of a busy time of the year. So.
Yeah, it's a tricky one, isn't it? Yeah. I know that you've seen a whole group of this young Australian crop come through, and you've been so generous helping them with your scholarship and housing them and giving them a taste of the US. So Hannah Green and Minji Lee, they continue to dominate the headlines here. Minji's picking up majors. Hannah's already done that as well. We've got new players like Grace Kim on tour. What do you think's the big headline in 2023 for our young female crop of what you know about how their game is placed and what they might do this year?
Yeah, I think, I look for Minji to kick on again this year. I mean, she had a great year last year, really came into her own. And I feel like, you know, she's got, more than this year ahead of her. I think she's just building on an already great career. So I look for her to play well. I'd look for Hannah Green to break through into the winner's circle. I think other than not winning last year, she won a couple of times here in Australia, but other than winning on the LPGA, you know, that was the only thing that she didn't do. She played, it was probably her most consistent year last year. So I look for her to get breakthrough into the winner's circle. And then, you know, we have Steph Kiriakou played really well in her rookie year last year and you know, settled in. It took her, you know, a good couple of months to settle in. But once she did, she finished off the year really well. So I look for her to play well. And Gracie Kim, you know, she's a talent and a star in the making. So, you know, I think she'll have a few nerves early in the year on the LPGA, stepping up into the big time. But she won and played well on the Epson Tour last year. So I think she's ready. She just has to believe that she's ready to take that next step. And once she does believe that, I think the sky's the limit for her as well.
It's some wonderful talent there, Carrie, isn't there? And with any person of your standing in the world of golf at the moment, it's the inevitable question. I'm going to give it a different tweak. Do you think when the dust finally all settles and when we look back in a couple of years' time that the LIV Tour is going to be good for golf in Australia?
I don't know. I guess it'll be good because golf will be in Australia in April when it isn't normally. So that puts golf, you know, in the headlines, which, you know, once the golf summer finishes here, you know, the only headlines are if Australians are doing well overseas. So, you know, that's a good thing. It's a good thing for Adelaide, you know, for them to have a big event. I loved when we played in Adelaide. For the Australian Open for all those years, you know, the Adelaide and the South Australian crowds were great support, so I think it's great for them. And it's great to have, you know, our top Aussie guys back. But, you know, as far as giving opportunities to other young Australians to play, it doesn't do that. You know, it's 48 players that travel around the world together. So, you know, it's not providing opportunities for anyone else other than those 48. So I don't know if, you know, when you look at it, is it good for golf? In what avenue is it good for golf? You know, there's some good and there's some not so good. So, yeah, I mean, you can pick it apart all you want, I guess.
Yeah, it's a tricky one. I know that the fans are looking forward to seeing the big names come to Australia. And, well, here's the follow-up to finish, Kari. Is it, you know, the relationship between building golf from ground up or top down? We look at LIV and those names. It's going to be top down as far as getting people inspired to see these massive names. In your experience, is golf a sport in this country that can be built that way? You know, we remember the glory days of yourself and Greg Norman inspiring kids to go out and play. Or is it now about doing it the other way around and making sure that kids from clubs around Australia have an opportunity to go to the world from there?
It's a bit of both. I think the messaging from the Live Tour isn't exactly what I would like to see about golf. You know, jumping from the most lucrative tour of the PGA Tour and going to another tour for more money. You know, those are the stigmas of golf that we're trying to shake, that, you know, it's a rich man's sport. So those messages aren't the greatest. You know, there's things with the Live Tour that I think are compelling, like a team aspect is compelling, and, you know, that can create new younger fans. So, you know, there's pros and cons for it. I just wish at the end of the day, I'm not against new competition in golf, new tours. It was just the way it's handled and honest for me, quite honestly, how it's funded and where the money's coming from is the biggest hurdle for me.
And you're not on your own there, Kari. Thanks as ever for the chat. I hope that you don't get, too bored getting into Nick, because I know that you'll put your preparation in, as you always do, pretty hot up there in North Queensland. And I'm sure the members around Townsville are loving seeing you play a couple of times a week up there. But teeing it up back in a top-flight tournament in the Vic Open, you are one of the headline acts there. It is a fantastic tournament, having had the pleasure to be there a couple of times. I know you'll have a great time. Hopefully your golf allows you to enjoy the week there as well, Kari. It's always great to catch up.
Thanks, Quentin. Thanks for having me on.